Okay, let's unpack this. So you decide you want to research a company, right? You pull up the reports, the quarterly results, and bang, you're just hit with this wall of data.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
PE ratios, cash flow, debt covenants, growth projections. You've got to somehow pull all that together into one clear thought, like, should I invest or not?
Exactly. And doing that properly for just one stock can honestly take days.
Right. Days.
That synthesis, that mental heavy lifting is precisely what our sources are tackling today. We're doing a deep dive into this thing called the FinMagine AI Investment Advisor Mastery.
Okay.
It's basically a system built to slash the time it takes to do really solid professional level stock research.
So the promise here, as the source is laid out, is turning all that messy data into, well, actionable insights almost instantly.
Pretty much.
But, it's important to stress that this isn't just like asking a generic chatbot about stocks.
No, not at all. It's very specific. A guided interface, they call it.
Right. It combines the AI's processing power with a very specialized custom system, the 21-parameter framework.
And that combination is really the core idea here. That's the key to understanding its value.
Oh, yeah.
They aren't just, feeding it news headlines. They're blending AI speed with a strict, structured
The
method.
21 specific things it looks for.
Exactly, 21 parameters. It forces the AI to analyze companies based on these specific measurable metrics, which means you get this comprehensive structured analysis in seconds, something that, would normally take an analyst hours of manual work.
Okay, but let's talk constraints,
Right.
because this is important context for you, the listener. The sources are clear. This system is currently focused on 72 specific Indian companies.
Right.
So is this framework only good for India? Or is this just where they started? Why only 72?
That's a really good question. And yeah, it's a necessary distinction. The sources suggest this particular version is optimized for the Indian market. Think about specific indices, the regulatory stuff there,
Yeah.
unique banking or infrastructure factors, that kind of thing.
So the financial principles are universal, but the scoring is tuned.
Exactly. It's tuned for those 72 firms, probably the big ones, the most traded, systemically important ones.
Makes sense. Like a focused rollout. Prove it works perfectly there first.
Precisely. Get the model right before you go wider.
Got it. So the output is super relevant for that market structure. Okay, let's get into the nuts and bolts then. This proprietary backbone, the 21-parameter framework.
Right.
You said it goes way beyond just like screening for a PE ratio. It looks at companies across five critical dimensions.
Exactly. Five dimensions covering the whole picture. First, the absolute basics, financial health.
Meaning debt levels, liquidity.
Yeah, debt, liquidity ratios, how efficiently they run things day to day. Is the balance sheet solid? Can't invest if it's not.
Makes sense. Foundational. What's dimension two?
Second is profitability metrics, your core performance stuff.
Like ROE, ROA.
Return on equity, return on assets, yeah.
Yeah.
And different profit margins tells you how well management is actually using the money they have.
Okay. Number three.
Third is crucial for looking ahead, growth indicators.
Revenue growth, earnings.
Revenue expansion, earnings growth trends, what are their plans for expanding into new markets? Without growth, even a profitable company can just stall out.
Become a value trap.
Exactly. Then, fourth dimension, valuation assessment.
So PE, price to book.
Price to earnings, price to book, yes. And the more complex discounted cash flow or DCF analysis, trying to figure out what it's really worth.
Okay, those four pillars feel like standard, good quality research. But you mentioned a fifth dimension.
Yes, and this is where it gets really interesting, I think. It shows they're looking forward. Dimension five is innovation and brand strength.
Intangibles.
Yeah.
That's always the tricky part. How does an AI put a number on something like brand strength using these defined parameters?
Well, this is where that blend of AI and structured data really pays off. It's clever. Obviously, you can't just find brand strength as a line item on a balance sheet, right?
Right.
So the AI uses proxies. It looks at other data points that imply brand strength or innovation.
Okay, give me an example. What kind of proxies?
Sure. For innovation, it might look at, say, R&D spending as a percentage of revenue. That's a direct measure of commitment.
Makes sense.
And maybe successful patent filings over the last, say, 3 to 5 years. For brand strength, it's a bit more qualitative, but the AI can process it.
Like what?
Things like market share stability, are they holding on to their customers? It can even analyze social media sentiment about the brand,
Wow, okay.
or even quantify pricing power How much more can this company charge than its competitors for basically the same thing?
That's clever.
These metrics let the AI assign a score, a tangible number, to those fuzzy, intangible assets. And that feels like a big step up in objectivity.
Yeah, that is powerful. It means the analysis isn't just rear view mirror stuff. It's trying to gauge future competitive advantages. But hang on, this brings up a potential friction point for me. You're talking about objectivity, eliminating analyst bias.
Right.
But doesn't choosing those specific 21 parameters in the first place and deciding how to weight them introduce its own bias, a foundational bias based on what the creators think is important?
That's a perfectly fair point. And yeah, the sources acknowledge that. Any framework inherently reflects the philosophy of the people who built it.
Okay.
But the bias here, if you want to call it that, isn't emotional or subjective in the moment. It's methodological. It's baked in and it's transparent.
Also,
their choice, their bias, is towards consistency and completeness. Every single company in that 72-stock universe gets graded against the exact same 21 criteria.
Oh, I see.
So the scores are directly comparable. The bias is static and known, which arguably is much better than the shifting, hidden, subjective biases individual human analysts might have day to day.
Okay, that makes sense. That clarity on consistency is a huge plus for you, the listener.
Yeah.
You know you're comparing apples to apples every time within that set of companies.
Exactly.
All right, now let's talk about tailoring. How does this consistent framework adapt to different people? Because not everyone has the same risk appetite, right? Here's where it gets really interesting, I think.
Yeah, this is the profile-based intelligence layer. It gets that, you know, a 25-year-old saving for the long haul probably has different goals than someone nearing retirement.
Totally different needs.
So you pick your investor DNA, basically, and that choice shapes the kinds of guided prompts the AI gives you.
Okay. Three core profiles mentioned. Let's start with the most careful one. The conservative profile. Goal: keep the capital safe, get some steady income.
Right. For the conservative type, the AI sort of shifts its focus within those 21 parameters. It'll prioritize things like stability, liquidity, strong balance sheets, consistent dividend payouts.
Less focus on maybe high-flying growth.
Less focus on high growth, more on downside protection. The analysis it generates will highlight comparisons of dividend yields, low volatility stocks, maybe suggest filtering for companies with, say, a maximum expected downside of 10%.
So it's about bulletproofing those first few parameters, financial health, rather than chasing the innovation score, perhaps.
Exactly. Stability is key. Then you've got the middle ground, the moderate profile, looking for balanced growth and reasonable risk.
The classic diversified portfolio approach.
Pretty much. Their prompts will nudge them towards looking across different sectors, trying to balance growth potential with income generation.
Okay.
So the AI might suggest create a balanced portfolio for a five-year horizon, looking for companies with solid fundamentals, but also decent, sustainable growth prospects. They still get the full 21-parameter analysis, but the interpretation highlights that middle path.
Right, balancing act. And finally, the risk takers. The aggressive profile, all about maximum growth, high returns,
yeah,
and they accept higher volatility comes with that.
Yep. For the aggressive investor, the AI immediately starts filtering those 72 companies with a high growth lens.
Focusing on that fifth dimension.
Big time. The prompts will point towards companies scoring high on innovation and brand strength, or those doing aggressive market expansion, or maybe those in emerging higher risk sectors like tech or specialized healthcare.
So the AI might encourage looking at stocks with big potential upside, even if the standard valuation metrics like PE seem a bit high.
Exactly. It understands the trade-off they're willing to make.
What's really smart here is that this profile-based intelligence takes away the guesswork for the user. You don't need to be an expert analyst to figure out what to ask the AI.
Right.
The system guides you to ask the right questions for your specific goals and risk level. That just flattens the learning curve massively.
It really does. It kind of democratizes access to high quality initial research, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we just talked about the modern investor. Let's see this thing in action. The sources gave a specific example using HDFC Bank for that profile.
Yeah, it's a good case study. Shows the output and the speed.
The query was specific. Analyze HDFC Bank using the FinMagine framework for a moderate risk investor with a 3-year horizon.
Right. And the AI just crunched the numbers against all 21 parameters instantly.
And the output wasn't vague. It gave concrete details.
Mm-hmm.
Like for profitability, the ROE return on equity came back at 14.2%.
Which is solid for a bank, indicates good profit generation from shareholder funds.
And asset quality. It cited the NPA non-performing asset ratio at 1.23%.
And let's pause there. An NPA that low, 1.23%, for a major bank like HDFC, that's really healthy. It means very few of their loans are going bad.
So based on data like that, the framework gave it an internal grade, right? A balance sheet score.
Yeah, 8.5 out of 10. Pretty strong.
I'd also give a growth score 7.8 out of 10 based on things like 12% credit growth. Suggest decent expansion.
And importantly, it wrapped it all up with the valuation score, combining the DCF, PE, PV stuff.
And leading to?
Leading to a clear investment recommendation, BUY. And not just buy, but with a specific target price of $1,850, which represented what kind of potential upside? About 18% upside from the price at the time of analysis. And the overall FinMagin score for HDFC Bank for that moderate profile was 8.1 out of 10.
Wow. Okay, that's the key takeaway for you listening. A full report risk assessment scores across five dimensions, valuation, specific target price, all delivered in. What was the time?
Under 2 minutes.
Under 2 minutes. That speed is just staggering.
It really is. And the system isn't just for single stock reports. It plugs into platforms people already use, like ChatGPT and Perplexity.
I mean, you can ask more complex questions.
Exactly. Like, compare two or three companies side by side using those same 21 metrics, or do analysis based on your life goals, find me stocks suitable for retirement savings or education funding.
And I like the transparency aspect you mentioned earlier. You can actually ask it how it got the answer.
Yeah, you can request the specific FinMagin scores, or ask it to explain the methodology behind, say, its DCF calculation. It's not designed to be a black box.
It's crucial for trust.
And what's really fascinating, technically speaking, is that to give those scores and that target price, it's pulling in real-time financial data, like Q1 FY26 data in the example.
So it's not using old filings?
No, it's designed to be current, using the latest available market info to make the analysis actually actionable now.
Okay, let's pull back and summarize the strategic edge here. What does this system really offer over doing it the old way?
Well, first, obviously speed. Instant analysis versus days of work.
Huge.
Second, objectivity. Because it's framework-driven, it strips out the emotional biases, the gut feelings. It's just the 21 parameters.
Consistency again.
Right. And third, accessibility. It takes really complex financial analysis and makes it understandable, guides you through it, even if you're not a finance pro.
Okay, massive advantages. But now... Yeah. We absolutely have to talk about the caveats, the fine print.
Yes, crucial.
The sources are very clear. Mm-hmm. This tool, as powerful as it seems, is defined strictly as a supplementary research tool only.
Cannot stress that enough. It does not replace your own judgment or responsibility.
There's an explicit risk warning too, right?
Absolutely. Standard, but essential. Investing has risks. You could lose money, even your principal. Yeah. And past performance doesn't guarantee future results. No matter how good the AI score looks, markets can change.
And critically, it's not investment advice.
Definitely not. The analysis it generates, the scores, the targets, that's not an offer. It's not a solicitation. It's not a recommendation telling you to buy or sell anything.
It's purely informational. Educational.
Exactly. So what does this all mean for you, the listener? It means the tool can give you a powerful analytical advantage, a massive head start.
So.
But the final call, the responsibility, is entirely yours. The absolute rule here is use your own judgment and critically consult with a qualified financial professional before making any actual investment decisions.
The AI informs your decision. It doesn't make it for you.
Precisely.
Okay. So that brings us kind of full circle.
Yeah.
We started talking about that pain point drowning in financial data.
Mm-hmm.
And we've unpacked a system that offers structured 21-parameter analysis tailored to your risk profile, delivering insights that look pretty professional grade in just minutes.
It really points towards the future of research, doesn't it? This convergence of AI with rigorous, proven methods.
Yeah, it seems to fundamentally change the game for what due diligence even means for an individual investor today.
It does.
Which leads to a final thought, something for you to chew on. If a structured, bias-free AI using these quantifiable metrics for both hard numbers and softer assets like brand, if it can give you a comprehensive scored report in under 2 minutes, what does that mean for the old ways?
Right.
What parts of traditional, really time-consuming research might now be, well, less valuable, maybe even obsolete? And how do we, as modern investors, need to redefine the value of our own personal due diligence going forward?
That's the big question, isn't it? Something worth thinking about.